You look so, so...
stupid.
Doesn't have a point of view.
Limbo law now.
Very interesting theory. I have a simpler one. You're all not worthy.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. This was the second volume of the official handbook, or Ohatmu for short, with more pages and more art pulled from the comics themselves. And we cover it in the style of the Legion of Super Bloggers famed Hot or Not feature, with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, we don't cover each issue all in one go, but a few characters at a time. Double warning, if I know my guests, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid of Siskoid's Blog of Geekery, and with me today are...
I'm Elise, Havana Nights from Hot or Not.
This is Isabel, co-creator of the YouTube channel Mindlinked, and lip balm on Hot or Not.
I'm Amelie from the YouTube channel Amy Ultraviolet.
This is Natalie, co-creator of the YouTube channel Mindlink, also DJ Nat on Hot or Not.
This is Josie, art girl from Hot or Not.
This is Shotgun from Hot or Not.
Episode 10, Beast to Better Ray Bill.
Beast!
Oh.
Hank McCoy was a mutant with uncanny acrobatic abilities and giant, some would say ape-like, hands and feet. He was recruited as one of Professor X's very first X-Men. After graduating from Xavier's school, he became a genetic researcher and unfortunately tried a compound on himself that made him grow blue fur and a more bestial appearance. It's in this form that he became an Avenger and later the leader of another team called the Defenders, before going back to an X-related team. And yes, girls, he did co-star in a romantic superhero miniseries called Beauty and the Beast. Personality-wise, Hank is incredibly smart, witty, and speaks with an erudite vocabulary that can come off as pretentious, but he doesn't have a pretentious bone in his enhanced body. Seen here only in his blue form, playing ping-pong with his feet, And if you'll allow me the editorial note, he's one of several important Marvel characters that got a single page when they should have gotten at least two, if not three, in this volume. You'll recognize them when you see them, but for now, Beast.
I love him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want you to play ping pong against him, Nat. You'll win.
Yeah, no, I think we have no chance. That's just cool.
I thought you weren't supposed to touch the table when you're playing ping pong. That's an illegal move.
I think the feet is also an illegal move.
You could say it's quite a feat.
Boom!
He's a really nice shade of blue.
And I like that he matched his pants.
I don't like it.
No?
Yeah,
no.
Me neither. I think he should have...
It blends too much. Like, from far away, it would be like, oh, is that his penis? Must cover,
nope.
And it's, oh no, that's a bathing suit, we're good. Like, I would be scared that
what
I would mistake
it. What color
would
you want it to be?
Yellow, then he matches the...
Okay,
the,
I would have gone and, yellow too,
yeah,
if it wasn't blue.
Matches the outfit.
Yellow. Yeah,
the X-Men outfit.
Oh, the X-Men outfit. Well, in the movies, he wears more clothing?
I think he has a suit.
Yeah, he has a suit in the movies, because he's a...
fancy business research person.
Oh, he wears full-on suits.
Where are his glasses?
Maybe he's wearing contacts.
I like glasses.
Maybe he's only wearing glasses to look more intelligent, but then again,
he's already smart.
Yeah,
I don't think he needs to.
His hair makes him look like he's just a blue Wolverine.
I agree.
That's what I'm thinking.
Very,
yeah,
Wolverine-y.
Very Wolverine.
Wolverine.
He's got good proportions, which is more than we can say for most of these guys.
Yeah, like
honestly.
He's huge, but it is proportionate. Yeah.
I want to paint his fingernails and toenails. I could do so much designs on those.
So much nail art.
Yeah, all the flowers, and I would put Hello Kitty on that.
His feet are enormous.
Yeah. It must be really hard to find shoes.
I don't think he even tries.
Does he wear shoes?
Why would he? That's part of his powers to
not wear shoes.
I would love that power. I hate shoe shopping.
Yeah, really sucks.
Can he, like, isn't that like his feet and hands are like ape-like and has really good grip?
Yep.
Yeah. Why put shoes?
I like the smart thing.
Yeah,
that's always nice.
That's really cool. And I like that, like, he's even though he sounds pretentious, he isn't. That's really cool.
I think it just comes, he's insecure and it comes out as pretentious a bit. I like that he's not.
He seems but
5'11".
He would definitely be able to hold a discussion and sound interesting.
And 5'11".
And be interesting.
I thought he was going to be taller than
5'11". Yeah, 5'11". He's not that tall.
Surprisingly short.
He's like big and short.
6 would be better.
I mean, that's an inch difference.
Yeah. I mean, you're a scientist. Make yourself be 6 feet tall.
But he already made himself taller.
Exactly. Keep working on yourself.
You're perfect the way you are. Don't listen to them.
It must be really weird, like, for your brain to know that you changed yourself like that, though. Wouldn't that be strange?
Yeah, does he have a lot of, like, trauma from that?
Eventually, he started mutating more.
Oh.
Yeah, more recently he was often shown as sort of a lion man.
Oh.
The real, like, cat's face. Oh. He's also regressed back to human looking, but lost his intelligence that way. Oh. And so he's mutated a lot. I think that whatever chemicals he took.
Is that from continued testing, or is it just from it sort of morphing in his body?
I think being a superhero, you get exposed to stuff.
Mm. Ah.
He became more human-looking, therefore stupider?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it was like sort of a weird
thing.
That's
a bummer.
And possibly a metaphor.
I think so. I do believe that's a metaphor.
Yeah, the intelligent beast, stupid humans, that seems right.
Yep.
I'm sad.
And I mean, he has recreational activities such as feet ping pong.
I'd be okay having a ping pong table in my basement.
He's not just agile, he's really flexible.
Yeah.
Good point.
That's almost a split.
I mean, you almost have to be able to be flexible if you're going to ping pong upside down.
Yeah.
That's all.
And that's. And he has good shoulders to sentence. Keep himself up, too.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly the dude is strong.
Yeah, I don't know. He could have a few more muscle. No,
he's actually not that bulky.
No, he's proportionate.
Yeah, that's what I like. He does
leg day and arm day.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Does he have to work out a lot, or does he just look like this?
Undetermined.
There was a shrug.
His eyes are just like, they didn't bother fully painting it.
No, I think it's just that when the printing process, because you see that at the feet, it's off-centered. So when it's they put the blue plate, it was slightly off-centered. And you can
a reprint.
I can do this. I can do the reprint.
So Beast, hot or not?
Let's say hot.
Yeah,
let's say hot.
Hot.
Hot enough.
He'd be a good cuddle buddy.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and he sounds like a sweetheart, too.
Yeah, he sounds like a really great guy.
And if he files a little bit the nails, a good back scratcher.
Just rips out the skin.
That's why he needs to file them, just a tad.
He's a decent height compared to
Yeah, he's not like a
most,
giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can still wear my heels.
He's a winner. Good job.
Here's a sticker.
I guess he's a self-made man.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can do this.
You don't have time to be timid. You must be bold. Daring.
Bold. Daring.
Yeah. There will be music. Romantic candlelight. Provided by myself. And when the moment is right, you confess your love.
I can... No, I can't.
Beetle, can you believe it took all this time to get to a character related to Spider-Man in any way?
I can't believe it.
I'm so excited.
Abner Jenkins was a master mechanic who grew bored with his low-paying job and built an armor to commit crimes. The Beetle... The Beetle suit has wings... Seen below, expanding, suction cup gloves that can also deliver an electro bite, a short-range electric sting, if you like, and eventually, because he kept improving the thing over the years, a battle computer that allows him to second-guess his opponent's moves and react more quickly. He's fought the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Daredevil, and it's never, ever gone well for him. He's the kind of guy who might have a grudge against Spider-Man, but that's never been as important as the accumulation of money. The next page shows technical diagrams of his helmet, chest piece, gloves, and wings.
You know when you get so bored with your job, you're just fed up and you're like, never mind, I'm becoming a villain, frig it.
That, yeah. That's what I'm doing slowly. I'm getting really fed up with my job and my clients. I'll just one day flip the desk and
aren't we all?
Become a supervillain, and yes. You will have the best costume.
Yes.
Definitely. We'll be fantastic.
I appreciate the initiative. You know, it's a go-getter.
He's not good at it.
Yeah, no,
but he tries, so I appreciate that.
He never gives up from his chains of failure.
But I mean, it's kind of weird because considering the fact that he was able to build the suit with all this technology and all this stuff, but still failing, must be hard on him.
Where did he study to know all these things to
but
build
not
this?
Be good enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's a mechanic, I guess.
He's that husband that tries to fix the sink constantly, and he's like, honey, I got it. She's like, no, I'm gonna call a plumber.
No, honey,
I got this.
And the next day, there's water everywhere again.
Yeah. I wish we could see his face.
Yeah, same. That is a bummer.
Close your eyes and imagine.
You don't really, just an ordinary schmo.
Okay, yeah. He's not like terribly disfigured or something.
But close your eyes, brown eyes and brown hair.
He's also 5'11".
That's a big beetle.
I like the suit, though.
Yeah,
I love
it's
the
very
colors.
Ninja Turtles.
I was just going to say, it's very Ninja Turtles. Like, I love it.
It's like the Ninja Turtles and, like, Ant-Man.
Yes.
I think his torso isn't long enough.
I think it's because he's like...
Yeah,
I think it's because he's 5'11".
Those 2 inches were cut off from his
But he's not too bulky, although there's a lot of, like...
No, I think it's, like, a shield of some sort.
I don't think that's his muscles, necessarily. Because if you look at how fancy his suit seems to be,
that's a lot of wires and small technology.
The wings are really cool.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the wings.
I like the gloves that can...
The suction cups?
Yeah, the suction cups. I don't know what I would do with it, but I would climbing walls. I don't know.
Does he have, like, a wall-climbing Spider-Man fights?
He can do that.
Oh, that's cool.
I feel like he's an interesting match for Spider-Man. Like, but even though he's not necessarily good at it, like, I feel like his suit makes sense.
Mm. I like the eyes. They're kind of creepy, but I like them.
I love the old mask, actually.
Yeah, the whole head thing is cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, it's bug-like, but it's not, like, creepy bug-like.
And it's not, like, with the antennas. It's not obvious. It's subtle.
It's subtle bug.
Subtle bug.
Which is really fun to say.
Hashtag subtle bug.
New trend.
His hands seem a bit too big for the rest of his body, though. It's just me. Like, his hand is the size of his entire leg.
It might be because of the gloves and the technology.
I think it's a proportion. Like, I think
the perspective.
I think it's weird. He's like hunched over and his hands are closer to the, I suppose, camera. So it's like huge compared to his leg that's more in the background.
Did the wings ever malfunction?
At one point.
I'm sure they have.
Every time he fights Spider-Man, there's a malfunction in the wings, and that's why he loses.
Well, if it never goes well, why does it never go well? Is he just not good at fighting? Is his technology not good enough?
Combination of all?
What's wrong with it? Is what I'm asking.
Sometimes you're just a loser.
Aww. Well, that's
not very hot.
I'm sorry, Beetle.
But it makes me feel bad for him, which is not really hot, but still, I mean...
So you're gonna have pity sex with Beetle?
No, I will befriend him.
I think he looks cooler than pity sex. Like, I give him more credit than that. He might not be great, but at least he looks cool.
I like his physique. He's got, like, the right build that I'm not afraid of, but isn't too scrawny, but it's still bulky without being scary.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't enjoy the greediness. I don't like that he's doing this mostly for money.
Yeah, at least if he had, like, a tragic past or something, you could be like, oh, well.
He's just like a bored playboy without being the actual playboy bit of that.
Mm-hmm. I'd say I don't date losers, but...
I feel your pain.
Shit just got real.
No one in particular.
Beetle, hot or not.
I mean, I'm like, all right.
I agree with Matt.
Like, all right.
I think I'd go on a date with him and then see...
Yeah, see how his vibe is.
Because, I mean, you can be greedy and whatever, but still be kind of compensating in other personality traits. Yeah. But...
Feels like it's a guy with a cool car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would...
But when you get in the Corvette, you're like, oh, maybe you're really not that awesome.
They are just a car.
No, you just mean a car. You mean when you get into the Beetle. You know,
Volkswagen. Does he drive a Beetle? I feel like.
Oh, yes, that. He does. And it matches his colors.
And if he's. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
If he's self-made, why would you pick a Beetle?
True.
Why not?
That is a weird insect. You'd think he'd be like something like a scorpion or something like.
Scorpion.
Or
praying mantis.
Was it like Spider-Man's a guy?
Spider's taken.
Is the praying mantis?
Mantis is taken.
Goddamn.
Okay, well then good job on the beetle.
Well, he's
why an insect?
He took Ant-Man.
He could have been a giraffe, but he chose a beetle.
He's 5'11.
Giraffe is taken.
I got really excited.
He's okay.
Yeah, no, I think I would meet him at a party, start hanging out with him, and soon see. You're maybe kind of an asshole. From there, I would be like, I am definitely not going on a date, but, you know, your suit's cool. I'll give you credit for that. Yeah, and then walk away.
Like a one-time thing. Like, I meet you once, and I'm like, oh, that guy's all right.
I'd do a one-night stand. Like, okay. It would be like a good story. Never meet again. No brush,
once
no nothing.
Once I slept with a beetle.
And you don't?
They don't explain anything.
No, no, no. You just leave it there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The mystery.
Today, the beetle is a girl.
Oh!
Where's the pictures of this?
That would be hot.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be smoking hot.
Because that suit on a woman would be also awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could fly.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
Belasco.
Ooh,
my God. Look at that necklace.
Okay. Yes, a tail!
Tucker.
Ugh. Crimes. Crimes in Mountain.
So many crimes.
Did someone get stabbed? We don't know.
People are complaining because we're making too much noise.
What's this hydro fallacy?
This is the summer of sand.
So much crime. All Maybe right. It's the beetle.
Okay. They say he was a sorcerer in 13th century Italy who used the black arts to contact elder gods who gave him great power and gave him a demonic form. He then kidnapped Beatrice, the love of Dante's life, and brought her to an ancient Atlantean outpost to be the mother of a new race of demons. She died in childbirth while Dante himself fought him, likely cut off his arm, which is missing, and doomed him to a frozen state of suspended animation in the ice. Needless to say, that's not in the history books, but it did inspire Dante's Divine Comedy. Belasco was revived in the 20th century, and the Elder Gods sent him to Limbo, where he rules this hellish plane where time doesn't move normally. His greatest hit, so to speak, is kidnapping Colossus's baby sister Ileana, who while in Limbo was corrupted by demon magic and became a teenager in a blink of an eye. She would go on to join the Junior X-Men and not become the mother of Belasco's demon children. He's still looking for the perfect mate, I guess.
Hard to find.
Belasco is immortal and can use magic to create any effect. His one weakness is the soul sword, now wielded by Ileana. Pictured here, torturing her with fire and commanding a horde of demons.
Well,
you know, sometimes we don't have enough information.
This is not one of those times.
He sounds like just... I will bring him to mother.
Still searching for the perfect mate. Well, we're six here. Who wants to apply for the job?
No.
Wait, do I have to mother like a legion of demon babies?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm open to it.
I'm very busy at work right now.
I have to wash my hair.
That will take like 20 years. I like the tail.
No, I don't. I hate it.
It's very demon devil-y, but I'm okay with that.
I like it.
I don't.
I feel like the tail could give you a lot of personality.
I really hate the collar. It makes his neck look so much longer. So is it the giraffe that you were talking about? He looks so grumpy.
Yeah, he's such a maroney face.
Well, all that miserable. Evil. Can you really smile?
And I like how he has two bracelets on one arm because he doesn't have a second arm.
Yeah.
Compensation. Yeah. His best.
Does he Belasco?
Have horns? Oh, yes, he has horns.
What? He has horns? He has horns!
Well, they match his
He's
tail.
Horny! Yay!
Sorry.
I like him.
They sort of blend in his hair.
There's something very Hellboy-y about him, which I like, but I don't like this guy. So it makes me very conflicted.
He did keep, like, the Roman situation garb happening.
Yeah, he's very Roman. Yeah.
That belt is humongous. Like, enormous. It's like half his abs is just a bit. It must be warm under that belt in Limbo of Hell.
His cape is fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I like the shoulder pads. And it's two colors. There's the red and inside is the purple. It's nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
That must look good in the
A cape is kind of mandatory considering his lack of a right arm.
Oh, yeah. He sort of hides it with the other...
Don't be ashamed. It's okay.
You're allowed to not have a second arm.
No, don't be ashamed of your disability.
We would still love you if you weren't terrible.
What's the personality?
Evil.
Terrible.
Evil.
Awful.
I mean, yeah. He kidnaps people and
rape culture.
Yeah, rape.
Maybe if he had the right mate. No?
I mean, here he has, like, a lot of recreation stuff. I mean, he's torturing people with fire. That's a decent pastime.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that. But no, he can't be good. He kidnaps people, rapes them, and then they die in childbirth, and then kidnaps more people.
You know what I like? That blue dude right there.
The purple one?
Yeah.
He's called Sin.
Oh,
that's a nice name. S-Y-N.
Oh. Like the math thing? No, there's no apostrophe.
Yeah, he looks great, though.
Math. I like his necklace, but he's so evil. This part. Not on the neck, like on his shoulder.
Connected to the cape.
Yeah. It looks more like a medallion sort of thing.
He's very pink.
It's like he got a sunburn.
Yeah, he's like really pink.
I mean, if it's in
hell.
Well, Limbo.
He's in Limbo. Did he play Limbo over there? Because I'd like to picture that guy playing Limbo.
He always holds a stick and never smiles.
And all the demons are like, woo! They get really angry if you actually touch the stick, but you're lying and you're like, no, I didn't touch the stick. And you're like, you did!
Yeah. And then you burn in fire.
If you touch the stick, you definitely go automatically to hell.
Yeah.
Oh, they're always like on the cusp of having a party. So it's just Limbo. It's just they're constantly like, we should have a party. And I was like, yeah.
Anyway.
Tragic.
Is Belasco hot or not?
Nah.
No.
He's kind of Jafar-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stylish and looks kind of cool, but it's also kind of villainous.
Asshole.
Yes. I, for some reason, think he's okay.
It's fine.
I don't know why.
Is it your historian talking?
No,
it's the wine.
I think I played the Dante video game.
Okay, yeah.
And Dante's an ass face in there, so I mean, he's just being taught a lesson. And Beatrice doesn't want to be with him anymore. That's just the video.
Yeah, in the book, Dante's an okay guy.
Yes, I know. The video game is bullshit. But...
Oh, Beta Ray Bill.
That's a terrible name already.
Oh my, what is this?
I kind of love it.
My eyes.
Only Thor can wield the hammer Mjolnir because only someone worthy of it can lift a mighty weapon. Well, actually, there have been others who were worthy, like Beta Ray Bill. An alien who sacrificed his life to lead his people to a new home after their planet was overrun by fire demons from Muspelheim. Bill allowed his people to painfully upload his mind into a super strong goat creature artificial body that could survive in space.
Oh my god.
Man, comics are weird.
Too much.
And they all took to the spaceways in suspended animation on the armored ship Scuttlebutt, whose AI is Bill's only friend through the journey. Fighting demons every step of the way, Bill eventually reached the Milky Way and came across the mighty Thor, who got separated from his hammer, which was then picked up by Bill, whose clothes turned into a version of Thor's. He's not only proved worthy of the hammer, but a better and often more noble fighter than Thor was.
Oh.
Odin awarded him his own hammer, Stormbreaker, so he could continue to defend his people and find them a home. Bill is a pure and noble warrior, dedicated to his people. Aww. but unable to refuse a call for help from others. Also pictured, we've got Bill using the hammer to turn into his former non-goat self, fighting an armored foe, spinning the hammer around, slamming it into Viking warriors, a diagram of Stormbreaker, and, on the other page, various shots of Scuttlebutt.
You said butt.
I want to ride on that ship.
Okay. Space goat. Why a goat of all animals? I'll take the goat.
And is that supposed to be his not goat form? Because
he's bald.
What's going on with his face?
He has none.
That's why he needed the goat.
He looks like Voldemort because he has no nose. Oh.
The goat motif is like goats are a Viking animal. Oh.
Yeah, right. But he has no goat features.
The face.
Yeah. Well, that is a terrifying
what
goat.
Goats have you seen?
The goat I've seen are adorable.
It's like it's a goat skull. It's not a goat face.
That's not a kissing face.
I wish.
Look at his lips or lack of.
Because goats have kissing faces.
I could see a goat like with his tongue sticking out.
I wish they had kept like the weird square eyes that goats have.
Yeah. Oh no, those are terrifying.
They're so unnatural. I like it.
He has like so many layers of pants, boots, whatever armor metals. Happening.
Must take ages to get dressed in the morning.
Like a robot. I like to imagine that when he got the hammer, he had like a Sailor Moon type transformation into this outfit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But isn't it just like lightning striking him and then boom?
Like, while the lightning was striking, he was having a Sailor Moon.
With the hammer that twirls and then it goes all around him. Yes. And
slow motion.
There's
perfect.
Like glitter.
Oh my god, yes.
So Scuttlebutt.
Yeah, who named that Scuttlebutt?
I think he's ingenious.
You knew exactly what you were doing, person who named that
Scuttlebutt.
It's fun, though. Like, I like Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt. Okay, so there's a bunch of space goats on Scuttlebutt.
No, he's the only one that's a goat because he had to take this form to be able to survive in space, right?
This space goat and just a voice, right? It's just like a...
And all the suspended animation bodies of the whole race.
Okay, does he take the suspended animations and just like sit them in chairs?
Right, probably.
And pretend there's a lot of people there.
Like on a cruise, but there's people in this swimming pool.
They spot Beta Ray Bill in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, really?
Oh.
And that he might show up in Ragnarok.
Beta Ray Bill is fun to say.
I was gonna say, I don't like it. It sounds so redneck.
It sounds a little hillbilly.
He sounds like a country singer, right?
Yeah. No, like, Ray Bill would be a name from my village. So right there, I am turned off automatically.
The first version of Ray Bill.
There's an alpha Ray Bill somewhere. But no, the name just automatically.
Does he like, just like leave and then be like, BRB?
That's his signature.
That's terrible.
Thank you. How does Thor feel about the fact that he's wearing a very similar costume?
Yeah.
Is it like when you show up to a dance or
someone has the same dress?
Someone's wearing your dress and you're like, that bitch!
As usual, Thor has this difficult relationship with his dad. So that Odin gave a same hammer to Beta Ray Bill. Probably lukewarm about it.
Okay.
Oh, that's sad.
Ticked off.
Maybe he's Beta Ray Bill.
Oh. A thorn in his side.
Oh, God. I'm surprised our anime expert didn't mention anything about Scuttlebutt.
What? I don't know. I'm under pressure now.
It's all that Robotech Macross stuff. The same ship.
I'll put it in the list.
My ex tried to have me watch it. I didn't last 15 minutes.
But it had Scuttlebutt in it.
Yeah.
Had he sold it that way?
I like the weird prints
And that they're different on the chest bit and the arm bit.
I thought the arm bit was like frills.
Like lace?
Yeah, like lace.
There aren't enough superheroes with lace on their costumes.
I'll be the first superhero with lace and bows and ribbons.
Nice.
I tend to think it wouldn't last very long.
You put a good coat of like varnish.
There are any superheroes out
Pro
there.
Pro tips.
I'll build it with all my cosplay experience. I'll build a superhero suit that's made out of lace.
Just lace.
Yeah, just lace.
I like the hat.
The helmet. It's the Thor helmet, though.
I just can't... Exactly. I can't talk about the outfit because it's basically Thor.
Also very aesthetics.
No, it's every time I look at it, I look at the feet, and when I go up, I'm like, oh, well, where's the blonde hair? Right. It's Ray Bill, not Thor. I'm looking for, like, the gorgeous locks and the Thor I learned to love.
It is a bit confusing.
Yeah, no, my brain's not liking it.
The boots are enormous.
The boots are hideous.
The boots are silly.
Like, that feet looks... Like, the ankle looks tiny, but the feet looks ginormous.
Would you be surprised to hear that this is the same artist and clothes designer as the Balder artwork that we saw last time?
Well, I can see the flow in the cape. That's exactly the same as Balder. Yeah.
And the weird, like, missing half cape thing on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, there should be, like, a movement of people that are crossing, like, actual superheroes with goats. Because this is, like, goat Thor, right? So I want to see, like, goat other people. I want to see goat Batman.
Goat armadillo.
Goat armadillo.
You make me wish that the frog Thor was in this.
Frog Thor? Yeah. Thor was a frog at one point.
What?
That's the thing that happened.
Yeah. To be fair, there's a Green Lantern that was a brick. So.
Right. I like his personality traits. Like, I like that he's noble and sacrificed himself for his people.
Like, he sounds like a lovely person.
He's just scary.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Unfortunately.
But he sounds like a sweet guy and is, like, motivated and cares for his people and stuff.
Yeah, no.
I think, like, that almost may be, like, too much. Like, I feel like I would get in the way.
He's already too dedicated. He wouldn't have time for us.
Yeah. Also, can he change back, like, whenever? Or is it
with the hammer? Yes.
Oh, I could bring that to Mother and not scare her to death.
How tall is he? We've been looking at that. I'm curious.
In Thor form, 6'7". In original form, 6'4". 480-pound Thor form. Jeez. And original form, 230. Pure muscles.
Is he holding the hammer?
He's like at the YMCA weighing himself with the hammer.
With the hammer in his hand. Doing that little, you know, those weight things that have this little bit you have to move.
Is Better Ray Bill hot or not?
I'd have to see the chemistry.
I have a hard time with just the face.
Same.
That face, I feel like I would get up in the night from a nightmare with that face and just like...
But he can traumatize.
Make him change.
No, but I mean, that's what he really looks like. You're not, like, making him change himself. This is what
But his face is still...
Creepy.
Scary. Well, we can't see it. I bet if it was bigger, we'd be like,
I don't see a nose. I associate
he
that
must
with...
He have a nose.
You don't know?
He's an alien. Maybe not.
Your main argument...
He have a nose. He does not have a nose.
No, I think that's proper.
He does not have a nose. He has no hair. It's very Voldemort, and I am scared.
So your main argument right now is he's really far away.
He's also really orange.
A few drinks in, he might be better looking.
I don't actually mind it that much.
I'm okay with it.
I feel like he'd be too intense for me.
Yes.
Like, he has a lot of responsibilities that... And every once in a while, it's like, yeah, no, Jose, I need to cancel on that again. It's like, oh.
I gotta go save my people.
Okay, and it's always a good reason.
Yeah.
So you can't be mad.
Yeah, no, it's like, he's so good to his people. And it's like, well, I guess my movie's really silly now. I'll just watch it alone.
He's a no to it for me. I can't get past the goat.
And I feel like every...
Even though he can change,
you're
I guess.
Not gonna goat for it.
Whosoever be he worthy, you shall have of the power. Whatever, man. It's a trick.
No, it is much more than that, my friend.
If I lift it, do I get to rule Asgard?
Yes, of course.
I will be fair but firmly cruel.
Am I even pulling?
Are you on my team?
Just represent. Pull.
All right, let's go.
Come on, Cap.
Nothing.
Oh, no, that's not a question I need answered.
Credits. Beast by Cary Gamble. Beetle by John Byrne. Belasco by Ron Frenz, Better Ray Bill by Walt Simonson. So as you noticed, we got to issue number 2. Some of the material that we did not cover includes whatever's on the inside covers. So Mark Gruenwald, writer, producer, editor of the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, includes a column called Natural Selection, in which he explains how characters were selected to be in the official handbook deluxe or excluded. He gives us the criteria. So the first of these is this character or place or thing of major importance? And admittedly, he defines this somewhat arbitrarily, but as having appeared at least 3 times, and one of these times has to be once in the past or next year. The second great criterion is whether the character is alive or not. The original official handbook had 2 issues devoted to the Book of the Dead, which, if everything goes to plan, if there is a demand for it, this version of Ohatmu will do the same. And we'll find out they got to much more than 2 issues of the Book of the Dead. The difference between this volume and the previous one is that if characters are inactive, then they can possibly be in the main handbook, leaving the Book of the Dead for actually dead characters and not for inactive ones. The third criterion is, has this character appeared since the time of the original handbook series? So if in between the 2 series they did not appear, then they may be excluded. He also admits to some biases, which are not criteria, but will make a difference if he must choose between a character or another for lack of space. The original handbook, he says, had a definite bias towards the inclusion of heroes over villains, because heroes are rare. But it did mean that some heroes who just appeared once or were very, very minor, like some of the international heroes, say Shamrock, the hero from Ireland who barely appeared, was included. In this case, the character will not be. What they've done is try to weed out heroes and villains that have only appeared once, according to the other criteria. And another bias is that the series must look at the Marvel Universe of today. So characters from the past, from the future, from other dimensions, parallel worlds, are not necessarily included. They might be, but the handbook really has a bias towards characters living on today's Marvel Earth. And finally, he mentions that some characters do seem to share space with Marvel heroes, but are owned by other entities, licensed characters. And so you will not see here Transformers, Micronauts, Shogun Warriors, Godzilla. These characters are not owned by Marvel. There's only one exception, but he's pretty far away, and that's Rom Space Knight. Whether these criteria and biases are debatable is up to you. Leave comments if you think they're relevant, but this is how Ohatmu did it. We also get the continued glossary, everything from ectoplasm to limbo, with everything in between. Elders of Universe, elves, what entropy means, the various human subgroup species like Homo Myrmidonis, Homo Superior, what is hyperspace, levitation, gamma radiation. If you're struggling with any of these terms or how they fit into the Marvel Universe, well, that's the page for you, and it'll be continued, the glossary will be continued, until they've covered every term.
Well, Cindy, this is the last box. Supermates has now officially moved into Fire and Water podcast headquarters.
Where do you want this Starman short box?
Put it over by the classic monster DVDs. Be careful. Don't crush my superpowers Batmobile.
Calm down, Christopher. Hey, you put the Star Trek DVDs on top of my comic action Wonder Woman invisible plane.
Oh, jeez. Well, now we can tell everyone that Supermates can be found exclusively at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Now, if they subscribe via iTunes, they shouldn't notice a change, right?
Right. Or if they listen through the main Fire and Water Network feed, no change. They can just find the show's home, show notes, etc. here at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Well, I'm going to go take a dip in the Aquaman-sized swimming pool Rob has, but I am not putting on that mirror costume. It smells fishy.
Oh, come on. It'll be fun. Hey, don't trip over that life-size shag standee.
That thing is disturbingly real.
Supermates, the husband and wife Geekcast, now a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Find us on iTunes or at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Hey! What?
F- Female bag. This is a special occasion because it is two anniversaries. First, it's a special occasion because we opened up a new volume of the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. And second, it's our 10th episode anniversary. Yay! And so, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, we will be drinking.
Not for some of us, though.
That's me!
I mean, notwithstanding, this is the first time we'll be drinking during a portion of the show.
Yay! Cheers, bitches!
Believe it or not!
Cheers!
I'm giving you water!
That's the proof. What are we drinking tonight, Shotgun?
This is a Vieux Château du Roi from a private reserve. That's my parents' wine. They do their own wine.
Ooh.
And it's really red and good.
It's really, really red.
It's more of a fruity teen store.
I'd like to point out that I brought my own bottle.
Yeah, a bottle just for self.
What are you drinking, Emily?
I'm drinking...
Something with a twist up.
Castillero del Diablo Cabernet Sauvignon 2014 wine from Chile.
I mean, we should start pairing wine with every episode.
I feel like every episode should be just us drinking wine and not saying anything.
But this superhero pairs quite well with a wonderful Merlot.
I am not drinking any fucking Merlot!
We mentioned some brands, but other wines are available. All right.
Not a sponsor.
But if you want to sponsor it, it's all we do is wine.
Congrats.
Well,
I mean, that's not untrue.
People who did not wine, but praised.
Nice praise.
It's their turn, and we will be doing a double female bag this time.
What?
We didn't do one last time because we couldn't get together for the occasion.
We're so busy people.
And so we're going to do episode 8 and episode 9, select pieces from listeners out there. We'll start with an iTunes comment, which are more general, from a listener called Piper Ruth, who calls the review Feel the Sizzle.
He or she
describes the premise of the show and then says, I'm Siskoid, I'm there to sprinkle facts and answer questions for you since I have a great acumen concerning comics. This makes for a funny show and a unique way to approach a series. I look forward to hearing the episodes and their take on characters I didn't even know existed. At the website, they post the art so you can judge for yourself. That's true. If you're listening and you don't go to the fireandwater.com site, maybe you're missing out on the pictures that we're all looking at. I'm just wondering, well, it'd be fun if I knew what they looked like.
Well, you can now.
You could always.
Always. And tell us what you think about it. It's always cool to hear your point of view.
And here are some points of view. All comments from the blog. Episode 8, by the way, was Atuna, Aurora, Avalanche, and the Avengers.
All right.
Yeah. Right? So that was episode 8. So here we have Chris Franklin from the Supermates, who says he liked the discussion of Aurora's fashion sense. This is why this show rules. What other podcast is going to give us these types of discussions? And he says, oh, and since you folks invoked a y'all in this episode, I hereby declare you honorary Kentuckians.
Oh. Yay! Yay!
Cheers!
Yay!
Yay!
Kentucky! Yay! Any excuse to drink?
With all the privileges that are bestowed upon citizens of the uncommon commonwealth. I threw the y'all out there because I was partly raised in Texas.
Yeah,
that's where I got my y'all.
You can legitimately say y'all.
You can't.
I'm not sure what the legitimacy is. But some of us have strange roots. It is. You're like Czechoslovakian.
No, I just lived there.
Same thing. I also only lived in Texas.
Okay.
Let's be clear.
I also only live in the Acadian Peninsula, so I'm terribly French.
I live in a hole.
She dug in herself.
Let's see. Jean Hendricks, who is our Norse expert from the Hammer Strikes. He says, I'm glad you all like the picture. He's the one that made the picture of armadillo side by side.
Thank you so much.
He says it's amazing what you can do with MS Paint and a lunch break.
I love that comment.
Awesome.
Let me introduce you to Photoshop, please.
Great.
Bob Kelly from Fire and Water podcast and Film and Water and the Bob Dylan podcast. Pod Dylan says.
Pod Dylan.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Wow, that's nice. That's an awesome pun.
Vamos.
Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of that on which I was on.
I didn't do that, but
it was really good.
We're such bad people.
Still don't like
me. I don't even watch this show.
Rob Kelly says the girls were especially giggly this time around. Yeah. Siskoid claims there was no drinking. Maybe a lack of oxygen in the room.
It is really warm in
here. Oh, the windows.
And it was episode 8, right?
We went to the beach.
We went to the beach. It sounds so hot.
We were so dehydrated.
A lot of sun. Tired.
It is absolutely the first time that I'm drinking on this show. And that's my second glass
already. And it won't be the last.
No, it's not.
I mean, we have to celebrate, like, I don't know, the 15th episode?
The 11th episode?
Eric, at that time, he said, with the next issue, you'll finally wrap up issue number 1. Mm-hmm. Just 19 more issues to go after that.
By the time we actually get there, our hair will be white.
Boom!
He says, thinking of future installments, when you finally get around to the Books of the Dead, the last 5 issues are all dead characters.
Cool.
I imagine you'll be informing the ladies as to which characters actually aren't dead anymore, in case that influences their ratings. Will it?
Well, we actually had a conversation about that regarding Bucky Barnes, because I was wondering when we would see him. I really liked the character, the Winter Soldier, and you told me that by that time he was still dead.
I like that he's still dead. Still dead.
In comic books.
Yeah, no one's really dead.
Except those five characters, or the 5 last...
Are there 5? There's like Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
The parents of Batman.
Batman's parents.
Yeah.
Bucky.
Bucky's back again. I think it makes me sad when they're actually dead, like real dead, like not coming back.
It feels like that can't happen because everyone comes back. So if they're really dead, it's really sad.
They need to have a purpose why they're dead. Like it creates the character.
It taints the way we judge them because then we feel bad.
So it helps them.
I guess.
It depends why they're dead.
They get the pity vote. Pity hot.
That's the
pity hot. We're good at pity stuff.
But I guess when you automatically feel bad, it's sort of like, oh, well, I guess he's hot then because he died.
But you know what? He's not, though, because we cannot date him.
Oh, that's true.
Or you dated him and then it's a tragic loss. And
Illegal Machine from Texas. He quotes, "He better not come to New Brunswick. Our roads are bad enough. We don't need this bullshit."
Avalanche.
It was about Avalanche, and it was Jose, Art Girl's quote.
"In my village, it's the worst."
And he says, "I'm 100% confident this has never been said on another podcast."
Especially the part about New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Well, I think any New Brunswick podcast might have said this.
All of them.
All of them could say this. Mike W. from Saskatchewan.
Yay!
He says, Aurora's split personality was weird. She was flirty with some people, rude with others, though sometimes I think that was just her being an asshole. They didn't really dwell on her mental condition much, though they did do that cliched scene where she cut off all her hair while looking in the mirror. Or maybe being raised by strict nuns had something to do with her being a bit whacked out. I don't remember much about Aurora and Northstar's crappy French, but it seems to me that they said sapristi a lot, which is exactly what I meant.
Sapristi. No one said sapristi.
And no, Avalanche using his powers out here in Saskatchewan, well, he could probably plow a field in no time. So maybe he'd be in demand. I find the idea of Captain America and Hulk sharing bunk beds hilarious. I hope Cap's on top.
So do I.
Oh, yeah.
She's so proud of herself.
you should keep on drinking.
Get another glass.
Drink to death.
I'm driving you, right?
And from Comic Box Commentary, the Supergirl blog says, "Perhaps my favorite bit was the immediate description of Avalanche's wife as leading a humdrum normal life. At the very least, like Avalanche found someone who thought he was hot enough to marry. Maybe he moved heaven and earth, or at least earth for her. Maybe he was grounded and she liked that."
Oh.
It's all puns.
I love it.
Yo, congrats.
Love it.
Speaking of puns, Speedball said, "Every time I hear a tuma's name, I hear Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop."
It's not a tuma.
I don't get that reference, sorry.
Seen that movie.
Are you proud of yourself?
That is a review.
It was a film.
That's hilarious. I love the puns.
Martin Gray, I think he's another one for puns. Watch out. He says, I love that you guys put in the time to make such a great show. It was especially fab that you were mostly discussing characters rather than species and locations. Aurora is far too high maintenance, and that second costume is visual migraine. Avalanche has that hot chunkiness, but yeah, I want to see how Greek his hair is. The only pic I could find of him helmetless was a blurry action figure.
Do you have that? No?
Sorry. And Vera excited. Wild said, I was so happy to hear the love for Aurora. It'd be shorter for me to list the things I don't like about her. But the outfit is fabulous, she's rocking that hair, and the eyebrows are totally on Fleet Week. Or whatever the kids say.
On Fleet.
I'm gonna start saying that.
Fleet Week like the professor in Harry Potter? Fleet Week?
Is that what it's called?
I mean, the dwarf professor. Anyway.
I am saying on Fleet Week.
Yeah. It's really fun to say.
Fleet Week, you've started a new trend. Congratulations.
You'll hear us.
Hashtag
Fleet
Week.
No.
Cheers to that! Yeah!
Good job, Amini. Making us drink.
Let's talk about episode 9 now. Mm. Some comments on episode 9. Balder.
Oh, yes.
Baron Mordo, Baron Zemo, and Batroc Brigade.
Yes!
Oh, God, yes.
Pineapple hit.
We have here on Facebook, Daniel Budnick was selling his upcoming book on 80s action movies on the cheap. And I said I'd buy one. He said, I think you should prepare leather-bound volumes containing Ohadmu or not episode transcriptions. I'd buy them.
Yeah. You'd really want to read that? Because we can make that happen.
No, we can't. Who's going to type that stuff up?
Mike is going to type it.
Yeah. You have nothing to do.
You don't have podcasts.
So there is some interest, Daniel. Okay. On the blog, Gene Hendricks, again, well, there's more Norse stuff. Ooh, in Baldur, so he has to comment. He says, Mistletoe isn't like kryptonite,
Okay. Where
it weakens him just by being near it. He just isn't invulnerable to it. After Frigga extracted the promise from everything except Mistletoe that it wouldn't harm Baldur, who is her son in the original lore, the gods made a game of throwing things at him to watch them bounce off.
Oh no.
Hodur, being blind, couldn't take part, so Loki, seeing an opportunity to get revenge on the gods, created an arrow out of Mistletoe and gave it to Hodur to shoot at Baldur. So in the lore, this is what will trigger Ragnarok. In the comics, Odin put Baldur in suspended animation, and even though Baldur's soul traveled to hell, Ragnarok was averted. And then the trip to hell is what has turned his hair white in the first place, by the way. So this is the real story of Baldur, both in Viking myth and in the comics.
I'm curious to see what they will do in the movie.
There's no Baldur.
There's no Baldur at all? Are you sure? I mean, they could introduce him in the movie.
If not, well, whatever. We'll see what happens.
But hey, Loki's ahead.
It's going to be better Raybill.
Better Raybill.
Get shot with an arrow.
But that's really interesting, though. I like mythology and stuff.
I'm sure Gene will chime in every time we get a Thor character.
So. Well, that's cool. We like to hear from you, Gene.
Eric came back to say, I love the idea that Batroc chose his costume's colors in honor of wine and cheese. Mike W. from Saskatchewan, again, said, wasn't Mistletoe Potion what gave Asterix his strength? Maybe Baldur would be vulnerable to him, too.
That's interesting.
He also says, if the movie had come out 20 or 30 years ago, Batroc would probably have been played by Van Damme.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. That would have been awesome.
That would have been way better than Josh Napier. Sorry.
And he likes how the girls were trying to come up with alternate names for Batroc's Brigade. He suggests Zaran Zoo or Machete's Menagerie.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
We don't use menagerie enough.
Yeah, no. It's a fun word.
Rob said, I wonder how Batroc feels being upstaged by his own brigade.
I think he knows.
Because he was afraid. It seemed like we were headed for the first all-not episode.
Oh.
And then the other two boys, Machete and Zaran, the weapons master, kind of pulled it out of the...
Wait, someone's actually keeping tally?
Was there an episode of...
We're not.
Is there a chart or something?
I hope there is.
Is there?
If there is, send it to you.
Send it to yourself.
Then forward it to us. I'm sorry. That's my third glass of wine already.
You need a fourth one.
We opened it like 10 minutes ago.
Look what's left.
But we're like six drinking in it.
3.
Okay, fine.
4. No, she has her whole line.
Yeah. Oh, well, my, but his glass is tiny.
Tiny, tiny.
It's a candle.
By glass, yeah, a candle holder.
Yeah, Mike's is a candle.
He's being responsible, we're not.
I drank a whole bottle of Jager in a sugar dispenser the other day, so I'm not fussy. And Nathaniel Wayne says, I feel really bad for Mordo, because I think Siskoid should have pointed out that Chiwetel Ejiofor is playing him in the upcoming movie. Now, I know that Ejiofor looks quite different, but Ant-Man was granted so much goodwill because of Paul Rudd, I feel like it's an unfair handicap. To be fair, at the time, I just couldn't come up with it. So Mordo, I don't know if he's been cast, I just didn't follow the movie news.
Yeah, we had this debate on what editing might cut it out, because we couldn't find who was the actor, actually. Because I remember seeing him in the preview, the trailer, but...
Who's the actor?
I don't know.
Chiwetel Ejiofor from 12 Years a Slave and...
Yeah, okay. This movie is going to rock my world.
When the movie comes out, we'll mention it.
Something
we can
like that.
You can review the other Baron Mordo. Paul Hicks, we got a letter from Australia.
Ooh.
Paul Hicks says, the sentence that started with, I want to put Machete's face... didn't go where I thought it was going to.
How it ended?
Yeah, what was the end of that sentence? I don't remember.
I think it was to put his face on another body.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. We did his face on Zoran's, whatever his name
Zoran's
is. Zoran's body.
Yeah.
We weren't
I think
drunk
we were making
enough,
Frankenstein boyfriends.
Yes.
It was my favorite
all day,
kind
every
of
day.
Daniel Budnick, the regret in everyone's voices when they saw Baldur looking good on the cover was palpable.
Oh, yeah.
What are the rules? If during an episode someone is declared not hot, can that be changed if the cover reveals a hotness not inherent in the illustration within the issue? Or is the decision based solely on the interior info? And
do you really think that we have rules? What is this person taking our show seriously?
He's so passionate about it.
We have an Excel spreadsheet. It's very complicated.
There's numbers and more numbers that we don't get.
I think a decision can be reversed.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And we didn't really express it clearly. Well, maybe not clearly, but for me, after seeing the cover, Baldur is definitely a hot.
Yeah, me too. I think it's like in real life. Sometimes you meet people and they just rub you the wrong way. You don't get a good impression. And later on, they prove themselves and you might date them, you might not. I think it depends on the evolution of the person too.
Yeah. Well, this is all about our first impressions anyways, right? Because we don't know most of these.
It's like a speed
these,
dating.
You know.
Yeah. It's like Tinder.
Yeah. It's mostly based. That's kind of the premise of this show, is it not?
We should totally stop. Starting, instead of saying hot or not, we should just say, I swipe right.
I do that all day, no.
Really? Because
I don't swipe right often.
No, me neither.
And so, Facebook likes and shares? From Zeb Oswald, Jay Jones, Jonathan Brown, Nicholas Brom, Al Sedano, Martin Legere.
Who's that?
From the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast.
He sounds unpleasant.
Kind of is. Michael Wagner, Gene Hendricks, Daniel Budnick, Fern, another Lonely Heart, but deserved. Ruth Sutherland. And then Twitter retweets and favorites from Film & Water Podcast, Comic Reflections, Ed Moore Jr., Indie Comics Fan, Marvel Bronze Age, which is all the same person. And Inigo Montoya, which is also him. Michael Wagner. Well, he's liking us from every count.
Well, that's nice of you.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
Michael Wagner, Ryan Daly, The Hammer Strikes, Sin, Willie Yarbrough, Roll Spine Podcast, FKA Jason, Comic Book Insurance, Trekker Talk, Randy Caldwell, Lee Schneider, Warlord Worlds, Dan.
I like you, Dan.
Shout out to Dan.
What's up, Dan?
Silver and Gold, and Aaliyah Montero.
Thank you.
Yay.
We appreciate you
guys. You guys are the best.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
This is the cork popping.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
oh
shit.
Everything is ruined.
That's the cork breaking, not popping.
Everything.
All right.
We've spilled everything. We've ruined it all.
Okay, guys, guys. Needs to come back.
All of the failures.
It's chaos. This is the worst anniversary ever.
Come on.
Never mind. Let's celebrate 20 episodes.
Okay.
Hey! Red, red wine.
Me, it was the liquid before the wine, just the water.
My God, you haven't drunk a drop yet.
Okay.
Drunk a drop.
Drunk a drop.